Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, video and film editor Michael Scotti Jr. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Welcome to the show today, ladies and gentlemen. On the agenda, Michael Scotti Jr. Michael is a video and film editor. He's freelance. He works for the Major League Baseball Network and production houses all over the state of New Jersey. But you never necessarily know where Mike's going to be. He's taking part in all different exciting jobs that have to do with video and film. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing great. Is there anything you'd like to add to your intro?
No, I mean, that, you know what? That pretty much sums it up. I'm putting my feet in a bunch of different places, and it's been awesome. It's fun.
So, Michael, can you explain for our listeners what your passion is and where you wanted to take it?
Sure. So my passion is in film and video. So specifically in the aspects of post-production, so video editing, motion graphics, sound designing. And I started doing it when I was 15. I took some video production classes in high school, and we worked on music videos, we worked on PSAs. And once I got a camera of my own and started working on my own projects that I wanted to work on, specifically music videos and recreating scenes from my favorite movies, I realized that I expressed myself best through video. So I started learning as much as I can about it and investing myself in it. And so I went to Montclair State for filmmaking, where I studied and I got my BFA there, and then started working as an editor while I was there. So I was editing wedding videos. That's kind of where it all started.
Okay, so you had this passion. You took a class in high school. You had a lot of fun with it, especially when you were able to adapt it to things that you were personally interested in. Now, I remember boys that I went to school with. I can imagine you being one of them, always with a camera, making funny videos and putting things to music and playing it for the class. Was that kind of you?
Oh, yeah. To a T, actually. Any family party, I had my camera out. Yeah, we would just be hanging out inside of my room with my friends, and we would just have a camera rolling. For some reason, I just always wanted to be recording everything, always, at every point. And then when it came to things that I wanted to remember, like when I was 18, my grandma was getting sick, the only thing I could think of to do to have something to remember her by was to make a music video, you know, for the song, 1, 2, 3, 4 by Plain White Tees. And
how did that go? How does that song go, Michael?
So the chorus is like, it goes like, it's easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. There's only one thing to do, 3 words for you. I love you. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes, I've heard it.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the song. And, you know, we literally just shot her sitting in her favorite chair at her mirror. You know, I remember actually one of the things, and I think this kind of points to my future passion for motion graphics. I remember when we were shooting it, I remember saying to my friends, I said, you know, the only way I'm going to work on this is if we put grandma in her chair on the roof.
On the roof?
That's the only, for some reason, that's what I wanted to do. So, you know, we went up on the roof and we shot, you know, a plate. So me and my friends singing, and we left a space, and then we shot her sitting on her chair, at her chair, just sitting around, looking around. She didn't even realize we were being recorded. And then we cut her out of the shot in her chair. And then we put her right in between us on the roof. And, you know, looking back, it was one of the first times where I had taken an interest in post-production in terms of, you know, motion graphics, using techniques that I actually still use today on a daily basis. So, you know, looking back, it's fun to think about where my story has kind of come.
Right. Exactly. I think that's great. That's exactly what we all need to do, is be able to look at our past and look at our little plot points that make up our life and how life is totally a process. And it sounds like that video is amazing. And I bet your family loves having that now.
Oh, yeah. We played it on loop at her wake when she did eventually pass away. And whenever I actually get notifications on TimeHop, and the other day I got a notification that said that like 6 years ago, that video got released. And I remember it brings me back to that moment, to how excited I was for that project and also other projects that I worked on at the time. And it brings me back to those moments, how hard I worked on them and how much excitement those projects drew.
That's really amazing, Mike, because it's just constant motivation and inspiration. It never lets you forget your passion and where you came from.
Absolutely. And the older I get and the further I get professionally, the more those videos mean to me.
Because it shows your growth.
Absolutely. And they're all still online. So whenever I go, and once in a while, I'll go back and just watch a few old videos and kind of just think back to those moments and about how badly I wanted to be doing what I do now.
Which is awesome. And that's what I want to talk about next. Now,
sure, absolutely.
Breaking into film and video editing, or that industry in general, and I know from your background that you've directed, you've produced, you've edited, and that's a tough industry to get into. So where were you in the process after school? How did you break into this industry, and what was your headspace at the time?
Sure. So let's say I graduated in 2013. At the time, I was editing wedding videos for a local photographer in North Jersey. So I was there for 3 years. And, you know, there I was able to really, really practice every waking moment I had outside of school. I was there.
Editing wedding videos doesn't sound like that was the direction that you really wanted to go in based on all this great stuff you were just talking about.
It wasn't, but at the time it was the first job I'd ever gotten.
Right. You were making real money.
Yeah. So after I graduated, I was still working at that job and started working for another company, a little bit more local from where I was, who needed some help starting a video department. So I worked there, you know, doing a little bit of producing, doing a little bit of editing, but it wasn't really where I wanted to be. I didn't think that it was established enough. I wanted to work on something bigger than myself.
What we need to know next is, how did you get into this industry, and what is it that you had to push through within yourself to do that? That point in your life where you just talked about all your lower level careers that you had.
Yep. Yep.
And you knew you needed to step it up, but what was holding you back, or what were your doubts? Where were you at in your head when you knew you were ready to move forward, but you weren't moving yet?
It's hard to determine that, because it feels like it was such a slow moving process that I couldn't tell you in between what aspect of my professional career where I wanted to take the next step. It was almost like that happened for me in short bursts, rather than one big moment.
Michael, you know what I love that you're saying is that this seemed like a really long process and it wasn't short bursts. And here's the thing, you were talking about just over a year ago, you were doing jobs that were not where you wanted to be. You felt you were ready to move on.
Right.
And in just a year, these large steps and progress that you've made in 1 year, but yet it feels like it's taken so long. And isn't that how the process of life goes? When we're in it, it feels like it's going so slowly. But when you stop and look back to where you've been, you just said it, when you go on TimeHop and you're on the internet and you're looking at videos you've made in the past, how far you've come, that must seem like forever ago, because in 1 year you made really large strides and yet you feel like the process was slow. And I think that's such a great lesson for our listeners to grab onto, that while you're in the middle of it, sometimes you can't even see the progress you're making and things seem like they're going so slowly, but everything serves a purpose.
Absolutely. And I think that it's hard to remember that on a day-to-day basis. And it's only in self-reflection that you start to realize. And, you know, and it makes you feel really good, because you start to make connections in places you normally wouldn't. And, you know, you realize the first point at which you learn something that is fundamental to you now. And you remember the first time that you even thought that ever in life.
So here's my question to you. You graduate college, you know where you want to go.
Yep.
And now we're looking at where you are now, which is a freelance editor for the Major League Baseball Network, as well as multiple production houses around the state of New Jersey. And you did this in a year's time.
Yep.
What did you have to push through or plow through or get past in order to make that happen from where you were to where you are now?
Sure. So a ton. First, I had to establish myself. I needed to have a more of an online presence. You need to have a website, you need to have a reel, and you need to have a really, you know, obviously you need to have an updated resume. You know, a lot of what I was had overcome was believing in myself more than what other people told me that I was.
No, I think that makes perfect sense to everybody. Everybody listens to what other people tell them they are. So what you're talking about is your who your person is. And a lot of that is created in our own minds based on what other people tell us we are. So what you're saying is you had to push back, you had to push past and push through the who everybody else was saying and go back to that 15-year-old kid who knew who he was.
Yeah. And, you know, at the time it was difficult because I wasn't even completely sure of the direction that I wanted to go in, but I knew that I had an overall idea. But I also needed to believe in myself to make the reel and make the website and have to have that conversation with myself about where I came from, which was also really hard to do. It was just a really overwhelming time period because I needed to make actual physical moves. I needed to you know, leave an apartment that was sustained by the job that I wanted to leave. And I also needed to build an online presence. And
you say, and when you say update your reel, a reel, explain what a reel is.
So a reel is a body of work, a short body of work, even just a minute, showing the best of the best of your own work.
And it's a video.
Yeah, yes. It's a video. It's a video reel. So I needed to make a video editing reel, one that represents myself as a video editor.
And that's actually posted on your website still, which is michaelscottyjr.com.
Yes, that's correct. And so I found it really difficult to do that. It was just an overwhelming task.
Well, because it sounds to me like you were feeling inferior, like people are going to compare your reel to other people's reels.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're feeling inexperienced.
Well, and feeling inexperienced and not knowing if I was actually inexperienced was a lot of it, because at the time I wasn't in the know enough to know if my skills were at a point that were considered professional for the jobs that I wanted to have.
Which I bet is also the reason why you procrastinated with your resume and putting that down on paper.
Yeah, because I didn't want to face the reality if I wasn't where I wanted to be, to know that I wasn't ready to make that move.
Right, or where you needed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I felt like each aspect of what I needed to accomplish kind of played against each other at the time. So there were a lot of head games that were played at the time. I found that the solution and what ended up becoming the solution was not doing it all at once and taking it in small chunks. And once it was all done, you know, even after a few months and even after I had gotten my first freelance job and I was working at it, did I even realize that I'd completed all of those goals in a way that allowed me to, you know, move forward.
Yeah. And it sounds like what you're saying is getting all three of those things, your resume, your website, and your reel updated, gave the confidence to put yourself out there. What happens next for you? How do you end up at the MLB?
I was working on this four-month contract, and during that job, I got a call from one of my professors who asked me to be on a panel for graduating film seniors at Montclair. It was me and maybe five other people on the panel. And one of the guys there, who's also a fellow alumni of Montclair, works full-time at the Major League Baseball Network. And during the conversation, during the panel, we were talking about reels, and I had just finished mine. So I showed my reel at the conversation with all these students, you know, and they commented on it. And I remember specifically that this guy, his name was Billy Joel, he even came out in the middle of the room and acted as a producer and asked me questions about the reel, as if it was like this like mock interview.
How did that feel though for you?
It was scary because it was the first time that my reel was being critiqued professionally, and it was in the room of 40 people.
Right.
It felt good to know that I even had a reel to be critiqued on at all.
Right.
So I showed it and he asked me questions about it, and some answers I had and some answers I didn't. And I felt like I blew my mock interview. and then afterward there was a little bit of a reception, and I ended up just, you know, going over and saying hello. And he started asking me questions about what I do and about what experience I have and if I worked freelance, and implied that he could refer me to his supervisor and to get me into and to work at the MLB Network. And at the time, I remember thinking, you know, there's no way, there's no chance. I have no business working at MLB Network. I don't have any broadcast experience. I don't have enough professional experience to work in a live broadcast environment.
So, Mike, this is what I really want to highlight for our listeners.
Sure.
Okay, you had been working on this since you were, you know, 15 years old. This is going probably 8 to 10 years later, almost 10 years later.
Yeah.
And so you're saying to yourself, I've been moving in this direction. I have some experience, but probably not enough. And as soon as he said, hey, there's an opening for a freelance editor at the Major League Baseball Network, your immediate voice inside your head said, you're not experienced enough.
Yeah, it said no chance. There's no way. But
you moved forward. And what did you do?
So he gave me his card, and I was so concerned about my experience level that I didn't even email him. I just forgot about it. He actually ended up emailing me a couple of days later. I remember thinking, like, okay, that's really cool, but I still don't think I have enough experience.
That's really cool, but when they see me on paper, he's going, yeah, no, I don't have enough experience. So, Mike, take us quickly from that point on to how you ended up getting this job.
So I emailed him, and then he gave me the information for his supervisor, and I emailed him. He asked me if I could be available for a phone interview, and which I was extremely, extremely nervous about. It was him, and it was the supervisor and one other person on the line, you know, and they're talking about, you know, what they do there and about what it's like to work in a broadcast environment. I felt qualified through the entire interview, minus when they asked me if I had any broadcast experience, because I had zero. But I had worked on a few jobs that allowed me to work in really, really high-pressure situations. They said, all right, great, and we'll talk to you soon. And then they emailed me back and asked me if I could have a conversation with their senior video editor. I took that call, and that was the call that I felt most comfortable. You know, we got on the call, we connected professionally about, you know, what I know best. So, you know, the workflows that I use or the software that we use. And, you know, we got to talk, you know, talk shop about how they work in terms that I can relate to, and actually say, listen, I know this. I know you're saying we need to be able to do it this way. You know, I've only done it this way, but I can learn how to do it that way. And I was able to actually find out where my skill levels were in relation to where they needed to be for that job.
You know, what's really funny about what you're saying here, though, is the shift in the tone of your voice. Even that became more confident as you got to this part in your story.
Yeah, because whenever I think back, it still makes me nervous to think about it. I don't know how I got through it.
Well, you did.
Oh my gosh.
And what kind of advice did you receive along the way, would you say, that helped you during that process?
Sure. So my uncle, at one point, He's given me two really, really strong pieces of advice that I've followed through with and that I've kept with me. He said, don't let anyone ever know how smart you really are, because they'll treat you differently. And I mean, he also made it very clear that people will take advantage of you always, and that you need to just be aware of that at all times. And I've run into situations where both of those pieces of advice actually coincide with each other at the same time.
I think when you say people will take advantage of you at all times, and be careful of that, I think that's really important to think about, because when you yourself are feeling insignificant or inferior, and you have to hold your ground in a situation like, let's say, interviewing with the MLB Network, feeling like you weren't experienced enough, but still not allowing people to take advantage of you, I think that's a really great piece of advice.
I think if you just keep it in the back of your mind at all times to trust yourself before trusting other people, you'll be fine.
Well, that sounds like that's what you learned about during that process, is to trust yourself first.
I did. And that's taken me pretty far, you know, ever since I realized that the level of thinking will bring you success. So also, the best piece of advice that I was given was not, that I've ever been given, was not actually from somebody, but from somebody who quoted somebody else. And it's a quote that's so profound for me that I literally had it like posted on my wall all through college. And it's something that I've reminded myself of almost on a daily basis for a very long time.
Do tell.
Sure. I know that I'm hyping this up, right? So
I'm dying to know.
Yeah. It's by Charles Schwab. And he says that the difference between getting somewhere and nowhere is the courage to make an early start. The fellow or lady who sits and does just what he is told will never be told to do big things.
Mm.
And as a college student, where I was still in control of being ahead of my own story, that influenced me to take opportunities and look for them to take that early start in what I wanted to do. When I didn't need to.
I love those words you just used. I love the words that you just use. Be ahead of my own story. Be ahead of my own story.
You know, I would constantly remind myself of that every day. And I think it allowed me to be aware of opportunities when they came around that I normally wouldn't see if I wasn't looking for it.
And Charles Schwab is actually often referred to for his amazing insight. So that's a great concept to share for our listeners today. Do you have any other resources? Do you have a book that you've read that you think would be powerful for listeners to read?
You know, the book that I would probably recommend is, it's kind of an older book, but it's Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
And it's basically a book about extremely successful people and their stories and what made them successful. And by focusing on their, on their intelligence and their ambitions. But there's a chapter in that book called The 1,000-Hour Rule. He gives real world examples of people who insanely successful people and how they became successful and they found success by clocking in 1,000 hours of practice of what they do. And that he says that, you know, to become a master in what you do, you need to clock in at least 10,000 hours.
Right.
I know he talks about the Beatles and how they, before they even came to America, they had played 10,000 hours live together, and a couple of Olympic figure skating examples as well. And I remember reading it when I was 17 and thinking, you know, I still have the opportunity to be able to clock in as much time as I possibly can right now. You know, I maybe didn't start editing or shooting things when I was 5, like these Olympic figure skaters, but, you know.
But you need to start. You need to start logging your hours.
Yeah, I'm still ahead of the curve.
That's incredible advice, though. That's incredible advice.
Yeah, and I think it became a staple in the back of my head that you know, I need to just keep working and I need to keep learning as much as I can and devoting as much time as I can to those hours. You know, and I literally learned something new every day, which actually leads me to my favorite resource as an editor is lynda.com. It's an online tutorial website where they make courses for, pretty much anything you can think of. But for me, I use it for the software that I want to learn, the ones that I know that are required of me as a professional.
So it's, I know I've heard of this before, and it's lynda.com, lynda.com, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's subscription based. So it's like $20 a month. I remember thinking before I paid for it that that's such a waste and I'm never going to use it. But once I got into a flow of using it every single day, I would pay more for it. But I hope lynda.com isn't listening, because I don't want you to charge me more, but I would if I needed to.
That's great. Yeah, but are you saying they have tutorials on all sorts of things or just on film editing?
No, it's not just film editing. I mean, I know that they're super specific. Like, I only use it for video. But let me actually just open it up and I can tell you what other courses that they have. So the overall libraries, in their libraries, they've got 3D and animation, audio and music, business, design, developer, marketing, photography, IT, education and e-learning, and web. And a couple of others. So those are the broad topics.
It's not just film industry.
No, no, no. It's okay. It's very techie based.
And of course, you're super techie.
You know, I like to think so. I mean, I read iGeeky every morning and I like to know what's up. I mean, I like to be in the know, because you never know whether it's just that was super interesting or I don't agree with the direction that this company is going in. You know, just be in the know just a little bit. because you never know who you're going to talk to about it.
And you don't know who's listening right now, because one of the things we do here at Motivate Me is we build the ultimate support system. So, you know, we're going to be giving your contact information in a little bit, and okay. You never know who's listening right now. And we're going to talk about where you want to move ahead.
Sure.
And how listeners can learn from where you've been. And if there's anybody out there that has any advice for you moving forward, since life is the process and we're constantly looking to advance.
I'm both a student and a teacher.
Beautiful. So. Beautiful. That's my motto too. I love it. All right. So here's what we're going to do next. We're going into the Motivate Me Express to Success round. So 1 minute quick responses for really the three most meaningful aspects of Motivate Me. And that would be envision, explore, execute. So this is how you can help our listeners. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
So how can listeners begin to envision this industry or the steps you've taken for themselves? How can they claim it to be their own? You claimed it to be yours.
Okay. So I think this is a really good question. And I'm actually going to defer to somebody who's explained this a lot better than I'll ever be able to. And it's actually from one of my favorite movies ever. It's from Sister Act 2, starring Whoopi Goldberg from 1992, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah. And in the movie, she's talking to a girl who wants to be a singer, but her mother won't let her. And she tells her, hey, if you wake up in the morning and you can't think of anything else to do but singing first, you're a singer. And I think that's envisioning. You already are. You don't need to do anything else besides just knowing and believing that that's what you want to do, and you're already there. Maybe you're not a trained singer, but you are a singer. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you wake up? What's the first thing you want to do? And that's how you know.
Excellent. Okay, so where should listeners begin to explore this process?
So from my field, if you're talking about video and film editing, you start the exploration process by being aware of what's being done now, by watching videos, watching movies, but not just watching them, but watching them for the editing. Looking at and seeing how it's being done now. You don't have to know how it got done, but know what it looks like. Because then you can start breaking it down. Once you start learning the techniques and the workflows, you're able to look at things and saying, okay, that's super cool. How did they do that? And then you try to figure it out.
I really love what you said there, because as a writer, we're always taught read like a writer. And that really does change your perspective on the world. So usually we read to enjoy, we read for entertainment. But when you start to read as a writer and you read like a writer and you study the techniques that the authors are using, it really does change your perspective on a field. So that's great advice.
Thank you.
What do you feel is a great first step in this direction? How can listeners begin to execute this plan if the film industry is something they're thinking about? What do you feel is a great first step in this direction?
I would say just start. And I mean, you know, just begin. Go get a camera and go shoot something, whether it's, whether it's the park or whether it's your family party, you know, just start clocking in experience in your own life and use the resources that you have available to you. If you've got a couple friends, tell them to go sit on a park bench and have a 2-minute conversation, and you record them and bring it into some editing software. You know, there are plenty of free resources online. I mean, if you've got an Apple computer, I think, you know, iMovie is free. I don't know if they still make Windows Movie Maker, but they might. It's easy now because you have a camera on your smartphone. You could choose something on your phone right now, and you could bring it into editing software on your phone for free, and you could manipulate that image and you could cut it up. And, you know, I know that Adobe Premiere Clip is free. It's a video editing application for your phone. It doesn't give you the same flexibility that a normal editing software would give you, but it's a free resource.
And it sounds amazing that you can just get started right now, today, this moment. You could just shoot a video and you can get that app from Adobe. Is it Adobe Premiere, you said?
It's by Adobe. Adobe Premiere Pro. Adobe Premiere Clip is the name of the app.
Okay.
And in fact, I use it during the holiday season. I went over to see my friend Tony. I was at his house, and I was like, you know what? Let's make a movie. Because he actually got me a video, an iPhone projector, this box that you put together and you put the phone in it and it shoots the image onto a wall.
That's amazing.
So you could even project it for free. So I said, you know what? We shouldn't just watch anything to see if this actually works. Let's work on, let's show our own movie.
That's
and he's
fun.
Like, so we went in the other room and in 20 minutes, I just shot a couple of shots. We told this little story about how a guy is working too much and wants to see his family on Christmas. And, you know, it was like a 30-second little movie. I shot it all on my phone and I edited it on my phone using Adobe Premiere Clip. I exported it and we played it on the thing. But what's funny about this and the reason why I think this is helpful is that that film that I made actually got, well, quote unquote, press. Since it's connected to the Adobe Creative Cloud, it goes up and then people from Adobe can see any movie that anybody's ever made. And someone from the Clip team saw it and tweeted about it.
Okay, so wait, does this mean I can put this link on my website? Yes. And viewers can go access
Yes.
it? Excellent.
It's live right now.
Excellent.
And so I got, yeah, and not only that, not only did they find the video, but they liked it and they uploaded it, they put it on Twitter, and then they found me and tagged me in the video. So I got a notification that said Adobe Premiere Pro Clip just tweeted about you. And I went on and, you know, it was there. And I just made it on my phone for free.
And here's the thing though, Mike, the listening audience right now, anybody who's interested in this industry, you just showed them how for free they can post something and be visible online. And
exactly.
These connections can move people in directions.
Exactly.
And provide opportunities. So I think that's great.
We live in a world now that it's really easy to learn and to communicate and to create. And if you figure out what you want to do and then you find out what those resources are, they're all available to you. Dedicate yourself to figuring that out. And I think that that's a really great place to start.
Really cool. Okay, so Mike, what closing advice can you give our listeners?
You know, I think that the best advice that I could give is to just start now. I know I already said that, but it's so true. Have an idea for where you want to be and don't lock yourself down. Just have an overall goal and start running in it. And let yourself be detracted when you feel inspired. The best thing that you can do is never stop learning. You know, learn something new every day, put it on a to-do list, watch one tutorial video every single day. Just start there. If you don't know something, don't ever tell yourself, I don't know. Just go figure it out and then you'll know it. And eventually that's going to add up. And eventually you're going to run out of things to learn. So then you can teach that to other people. It's really important to remember that you never know who you're inspiring and to always be a model of inspiration for someone that you wish you had at their age.
That's excellent. Excellent advice, Mike. Now, we're going to push you. We're going to stretch you right now, Michael, okay? So if life truly is a process, and we know you've made large strides, and we talked about that, but where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What's your next step?
Okay, so big picture for me, I want to move toward narrative storytelling. You know, thinking back, like all the video experience that I have is awesome. And it's, you know, led me towards TV editing and live TV editing for the MLB. And that's great. But my next big move is going to be in film. Yeah, whether that's TV, whether that's feature films, whether that's web series, anything fiction based, or maybe even documentary. You know, I want to be able to tell stories through editing. That's where I will be in the next 5 years. And then big picture after that, owning a post-production facility is long-term, offering post-production services, like an agency type. You know, being able to be selective about the work that I'm passionate about, but also be able to farm it out to other people and help people get things edited, whether that's TV, commercial, anything that needs to be done. So that's my goal.
Excellent. That's awesome. So Mike, you have a lot of different things that people can kind of rally around you over. I know
Yes.
you talked about different, you have your website, you have your reel, and you have that other video that we're going to put the link up just so everybody can check that out. Can you give us contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, anybody can check out my website, michaelscottijr.com. It's got a bunch of current videos that I've worked on, and my reel is there, and my resume is there if you ever wanted to check it out. You know, you can email me at info@michaelscottijr.com, info@michaelscottijr.com. you know, you can get in touch and ask me anything that you want. You know, if you have, if anybody ever needs any advice in the direction of film and video, I'm there. I can help them.
Excellent.
So I'm really excited. And, you know, feel free to reach out for anything.
Okay. And you're going to be part of the Ultimate Support System page, our group. So we'll make sure that you're included there, too, in case anybody wants to give you a holla.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I like what you're doing here. And I think it's super important.
Thank you, Mr. Scotty Jr.
I commend you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, everybody, it's time for your go-do. Michael said something that I really liked. He said that he began to achieve success when he started breaking big tasks down into smaller chunks. So think about what it is you'd like to accomplish. Make a list of everything you need to do and set up a timeline. Record it in your journal and report back on our Facebook community page. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.